on Breakfast with Vossie, a sports update with Michelle Bishop.
No, let's give it the formal credit, of course, for Kennards, who are very busy on a Friday. People, you know, with their DIY plans for the weekend and all the rest. Well, Kennards is the place they have to go. Kennards Hire makes your job easy. Call your local branch today. Take the Ken Oath. Michelle Bishop, are you ready to do that?
Ken Oath.
Excellent. Well done. Can I start with Wicks, if I may? Because
absolutely.
You were at Royal Randwick yesterday, and the Berkeley Eagles thrown at us with Winks revealed in foal to Piero, and he's come up with the name Nudge Nudge for the foal, which I think is very clever. We're going to ask our listeners, can they come up with a name and be in the running to win the $50 FPOST gift vouchers? Did you hear any? Did people sort of say, oh, that's interesting? Nothing?
No, not yesterday. Yesterday was a very emotional day. Plenty of tears. I mean, it all started off with the opening of the Winks stand, which I have to say the ATC and Racing New South Wales did a fantastic job. It was very entertaining. They took us all for a huge trip down memory lane across Winks' journey, and that's what I thought all the tears were about. There was plenty. Peter Tye, one of the co-owners, I haven't seen him, you know, cry a great deal. We see Chris Waller cry a lot, and Debbie Kapitis, the other co-owner, but yeah, Peter Tye broke down on stage, and that's where they revealed that Winks is in foal. And we know that in itself has been such an emotional journey. Winks, of course, lost her first baby, but they only had confirmation, like true confirmation, the night before. So it was all very raw, and it was, very special. Yeah. So I can only imagine that it's all going to be a really tough 10 or 11 months for the connections. As you say, she was served by Piero, a champion stallion at the Coolmore Stud in the Hunter Valley. She's had, the first time around, she had really a trouble-free pregnancy, and that was the concern. There was not any indication that there was anything wrong, but she was slightly overdue and then got herself into trouble, obviously, in labour and lost the foal. So can you believe she's been retired for 2 years now? So 2019, the Queen Elizabeth Stakes, such a special day, but it only seems like yesterday. Mm. But she, obviously, the stand named after her yesterday, there was tears with Chris Waller over that because he was just saying, you know, it's here forever, her spirit's here. And the thing I really liked about the stand was the facilities and everything are fantastic, but just the way where it's been strategically placed on that 200-metre mark, because if you remember, that's when she used to just step up a gear. Huey Bowman would really get her going, and she'd just, you know, coming down that Randwick Mile, she'd get the whole crowd to their feet, and it was just always magical. So the way it's been placed there on the track is sensational, and I guess there's all other sorts of bonuses, and that's the money that it's going to inject into the New South Wales economy as well. So big day at Royal Randwick, and congratulations to the Mighty Mare. It's very special.
Now, Michelle, I don't know whether you have a stalker. One of our listeners has suggested that you're going to be a bit scratchy this morning. They're all over what you have been doing in the last 24 hours, and it's to do with the Macedonia Rugby League. Now, that is a story I wasn't expecting this morning.
Oh, well, it was a wonderful night. For those of you who don't know, I didn't volunteer, but I did. I sort of put in a bit of a position, but then I'm really pleased that we've done it because, they're a fantastic bunch. They announced their side last night. It's their first side. They're preparing, obviously, got a long way to go yet, but to eventually make it into a World Cup. Shane Flanagan is, of course, the coach, being assisted by Paul Gallen. So plenty of big names, bit of grunt. It's a lovely bunch of people. They received their jersey, and they had to, pick a member of, someone that was close to them. It was very emotional for them. The boys picked their mums, some picked their grandfathers, their fathers, but their jerseys were presented to them. And I guess it's the start of a very special journey. I was very privileged during the World Cup to work alongside Brad Fittler and Robbie Farah, Michael Leisha, those sort of guys in and around that Lebanese team. So I just feel something very special with this mob, and, you know, I hope that they do. They've got a couple of matches coming up at Leichhardt Oval, just some, you know, small matches, but it's the start of something very special for them. So it's a privilege to be a part of it.
There we go. And it gets its little place here this morning in the sports update for Kennards Hire. Now, a couple of other stories. Appy Corrissau, Tigers have come into the market. Have you got any mail on where Appy may end up?
Look, the West Tigers, they're certainly being extremely active at the moment. And this was, we talked about this a couple of months ago because they were concerned. So it was plan B, I guess, if the Josh Hodgson deal, you know, they weren't able to pull that off. And guess what? That hasn't happened. They couldn't match the money for Josh Hodgson to, you know, obviously to lure him to Leichhardt. So they've now keen, obviously, on Appy Carousel. I say this with great hesitation, Vossi. The Dolphins are believed to be watching this space as well. And I've decided that I'm not going to get sucked into bringing the Dolphins into every conversation anymore because I honestly haven't been able to confirm that that's the case, that there is legitimate interest. There's still no panic up there from Wayne Bennett whatsoever. He's of the opinion that, you know, once we land one, two or three, that they'll all come. The gates will open up. But anyway, the Panthers have got some issues with their salary cap and they'd love to keep him. And I do know that for sure. I've had that conversation in the last week. But he'd obviously have to take a bit of a haircut. And I guess the way around it for them is to revise their offer and add an extra year. That's probably a good out for them. As I say, they would love to keep him. But, the Tigers, they are definitely having the conversation and certainly keen.
Well, the Tigers fans' ears have pricked up. And last one. Look, Paddy Mills' year isn't over because he's doing some great things in the NBA, but he's had a really big night last night that could have been, you could say, the icing on the cake for the year.
Yeah, he has had an absolute ripper year. The Boomer Skipper claiming the prestigious The Don Award, and we all know that's basically one of the highest honours in Australian sports, awarded to the athlete or team who's inspired a nation through a performance or an example, and he certainly did that. And look, beat some really tough competition because when you think about the year we've had, especially with the Olympics and the athletes, some of the moments that we've shared, you know, Olympic and world titles to Jess Fox, Ash Barty carving up at Wimbledon, Dylan Alcott, there's been some rippers, but he's topped all of those and he led the men's basketball team to their first medal at the Olympics, but joined some great company. Jeff Horn, Michelle Payne, Ian Thorpe, Kathy Freeman. Determination, skill and leadership were the words used to describe Mills. And John Bradman, the son of Sir Donald Bradman, said Mills embodies his dad's values. That's big in sport. He's a champion player and a champion person as well. So well done to Paddy Mills.
Oh, great stuff for Paddy Mills. I mean, you know, I know it wasn't a gold medal, but the bronze medal is still one of the biggest stories of the year, not just the Olympics, the bronze medal
it's
won.
It's all about inspiring this particular award, and he's certainly done that and more.
And now on 1170 SEN Breakfast, Vossie's verdict.
My verdict this morning, it is short, it is sharp, that's to the point. Get behind the Australian cricket team right now. We've all debated the makeup of the team. We've sliced and diced the Tim Payne scandal. Tim has fallen on his sword. We now have a new test skipper, Pat Cummins, with Steve Smith, a controversial pick with many as vice-captain, but he is now the vice-captain of our national team. We owe them our support, and certainly in Pat Cummins, in Pat we trust. Big honour, skippering his country. Well done, boy from Penrith. We now know we have a new keeper in Alex Carey. Let's hope he kills it. It is fine to debate the other spots in the side. That is the right of the sports fan. Not a fan of Marcus Harris' inclusion. Well, let's hope he finds form at the top of the order. He is going to be opening the batting. I don't want him to fail. We want him to succeed. He's playing England. Is it Travis Head or Usman Khawaja at number five? Whoever gets the nod, we should all hope they make a statement with a three-figure score in the very first test. And if it's Mitchell Starc or Jai Richardson for the third fast bowling spot, they should have our support and encouragement to rip in, to ramp it up. Why? Because we are playing England. This is the Ashes, the old foe. Who doesn't want to crush them? Show of hands, anyone? Of course not. With the greatest of respect, we want some good competitive cricket. The Barmy Army can have their fun, but at the end of a five-match series, they will sit silent. Who wouldn't like to see a 5-0 result? It's been a tough couple of years for fans through the COVID pandemic. Things now returning to normal. The test opener at the Gabba, a Boxing Day test with crowd at the MCG, the pink test in Sydney, and the possibility of a night test in Sydney or Melbourne, the fifth test of this series. Without apology, I say, let's give it to those Poms. Who's with me? Send them packing with their tails between their legs. The countdown is on. Just five more sleeps. Full coverage here on SEN. Five more sleeps until we have another instalment in one of sport's greatest rivalries, all to get their hands, dare I say, fingers around that tiny Ashes trophy. Come on, Aussie, come on.
Vossie's verdict.
I'm hoping my next guest will buy into my rally call there. Chris Rogers, who we've had on the program before, former test opener. In fact, Chris's last test was an Ashes test back in 2015. He's part of the SEN family. It is great to have him on the program. Even if New South Wales can't beat Victoria in the Shield, we'll still have him on the show. Chris Rogers, welcome again to the program.
Morning, boss. You just heard that intro. You've got me excited as well, I think.
Well, don't you think? Oh, look, it is great to debate, because everyone wants to have their 10 cents worth. And this has been a little different, the build-up, because of the Tim Payne story. But at some point, we have to say, right, this is Australia v England. I hope they all succeed, the Aussies. Let's go for it.
Yeah, I mean, there absolutely has been a lot going on leading into this series. And, you know, I think once it begins, we'll start to focus on the cricket itself. So hopefully it's a really good series. It'll be interesting how it plays out. I think England could have been a little bit more imaginative with their selection of their squad. But Ben Stokes coming in at the last hour, that's going to be a huge boost for England.
Picked up a couple of wickets too. Finally, they got on the field in their warm-up game. Well, Chris, you've been there, done that. Can you tell us, the listeners out there that don't know what it's like, the inner sanctum, the bubble, with all this press and these other stories, it's been outside the realms of actual cricket this time around. How locked in are you to the bubble? How easy is it just to focus on the job at hand?
Not at all. I mean, that's the part of the Ashes is just the scrutiny that goes with it. You know, I think you could play in a series maybe in the UAE against Pakistan and not even sure, you know, how many people are watching. But when it comes to the Ashes, you know that there's so much interest in it, so much pressure that goes with it. You don't want to make too many mistakes. So, and even just, you know, when you're at the hotel in the morning and all the, you know, there's so many fans around and things like that, it makes it so exciting. So there'll be a lot of pressure on these guys, especially for a number of the Australian players who probably haven't cemented their spot. So, the jigsaw will fall into place. But really looking forward to seeing who puts their hand up and I have a feeling, I think Usman Khawaja might get the nod at five. Right. I just have a feeling George Bailey, he's not against picking, you know, the older players and giving them their chance. So I wouldn't be surprised if Usman does get the nod.
Chris, again, I lean on your experience. And, football fans of rugby league or AFL, these days, you know, you've got cameras in the dressing room and you see, team addresses and you see the coach at halftime and all those sorts of things addressing. It's not something we necessarily get in cricket. Now, Pat Cummins is a new captain. Can you take us to the inner sanctum? Is there a stirring speech before a series starts? Does the captain take, you know, a position in front of the group? Does the coach get up and deliver something Churchillian-esque before the start of an Ashes series? You tell me.
I think that might happen leading into the series. I don't think it happens on a day. I think cricket's very different to the football code. You know, the game goes for 5 days, so it's not like you can go out there and give everything for 2 hours. So the rah-rah speech in cricket's probably not quite, you know, as common. Equally, you know, you want to be inspired by your leader and someone who can kind of lift the players when they need. I mean, as a batsman, I didn't really want anyone giving me a big speech before I went out to bat. But when you do go out to field and you're getting stuck in together, a captain who can say some words to inspire you is definitely worth his gold.
All right, we'll see what Pat Cummins comes up with. So just on the other contentious positions, Mitchell Starc or Jai Richardson in your book, Chris, in the team?
It's a good question. I'd probably start with Starc. Just, a big series, you probably just want a little bit of experience first up, but that's not to say that's how it'd play out all throughout the series. I think Richardson will definitely get his chance and wouldn't be surprised if, you know, even if he did miss out the first one, it was the second test. So Yeah, probably just the experience of Mitchell Starc for the first one in a big series, and you know, we haven't played Test cricket for seemingly a long while now as well.
All righty, and we've decided it is Carey as keeper, Marcus Harris at the top of the order. Now, Shane Warne at the launch of Fox's coverage of the Ashes put a bit of heat on Nathan Lyon to the effect where he said if things went sour, the change would have to be swift. Now, I look into that as saying, well, look, if Nathan Lyon didn't fire the first two tests, then we're making the change sometime through the series, and you'd have to think that might be it for Nathan Lyon. Do you subscribe to the thoughts of Shane Warne in this instance?
Oh, not necessarily. I think Warney likes to cause a bit of a stir. I can't believe that Nathan Lyon would be discarded in the middle of the series. It's not just the wickets he gets. It's the balance he gives with the bowling attack. He can just bowl so many overs, and he's so dependable. So I'd be very surprised if that was the case. But who knows what information Warney has.
Well, this is right. He lives on a different planet, I think, to most of us. Warning sometimes. That's the impression you get. Now, Chris, are you aware of the you-know-what storm you created last time you come on the program? This is just away from the big issues of cricket at the moment. As we go through, there were that many listeners. Gee, the response was massive, and it went for days around the fact that when I revealed that you were colourblind, that you'd played your career short-sighted, colourblind, then people got up with that many questions. And people coming out of the woodwork who are also colourblind. I mean, the curiosity factor, it certainly killed the cat. The cat's dead because the listeners were all asking questions. Was it an issue for you through your career?
Well, you threw me there, first of all. I thought it was the comment I made about how good it was to beat New South Wales. But
No, we're not talking about that today. No. What do you mean, the green caps of New South Wales?
The colourblind, it could be an issue at times. I mean, it's okay when you have a good sight screen. I couldn't play against the pink ball. I think that's what we would discuss. But there was the full toss from Graham Swan at Lords in 2013, which went above the sight screen and then kind of got caught in the crowd, and then I lost it. I got hit in a box and given out LBW. So there was that incident. But it was probably more in the field when you side on. A lot of times, a lot of grounds, you're still, you know, at domestic level, there's still kind of trees and things around. So with the background. But the other thing is I never wore sunglasses because I didn't understand you could have different coloured lenses. I know that sounds a little bit naive, but every time I put a pair of kind of grey lens sunglasses on, the grass and the ball would just merge. So I didn't wear sunglasses until...
You obviously until only just you only just tried the ones on the servo on. You need to go to a proper optometrist or something rather than just the ones at the servo.
No, I found that out. OPSM got in contact and eventually got like a different coloured lens, which made it, you know, quite helpful. So little things like that, you just... Yeah, it can get in the way, but equally with sight screens. The other thing is people would talk about, are you looking at the shiny side or the dark side of the ball? And I never knew how to do that. I mean, I couldn't do it, so I didn't bother.
There you go. Look, yeah. Social's come on the text here. Says, does Chris know that his wife's hair is blonde?
I hope not. She's South American, so yeah.
Oh, there you go. And people are just saying your wardrobe—just an array of colours. But Chris doesn't know what to wear on any given day. You know, every day he gets dressed in the dark because he doesn't know. But is it that?
Well, no. I only wear grey, white, and black really because of that.
There we go. Is that true? You're taking the Mickey. Oh boy.
No, dead serious.
So now, having you on the program, I'm now going to sit here for the next 2 hours and I'll get another 25 questions asked, and I'll probably have to text you back. Can you ask Chris this? Because I haven't asked all the questions that the listeners will come up with because they're a bunch of weirdos.
Right.
But Chris, thank you. I love your analysis of cricket. Always great to talk with you. So my last question, lock in Ashes prediction.
I think we'll win 3-1. There you go.
3-1 it is. Holmes will get one. 3-1. Australia safely home with the Ashes. Good on you, Chris. Take it easy. Thanks for coming on the program again early in the morning. Well done, Victoria. Well done.
Get on you, Vossie. See you, mate.
And now on Breakfast with Vossie, the back page with David Riccio. Thanks to Harley Heaven, the home of Harley Davidson in Sydney.
Yeah, absolutely. For Harley Heaven, the Telegraph's David Riccio still working his you-know-what off in the off-season with Rugby League. That's where we start this morning. Siosiwa Tokiaho in our confirmation. He ain't going to the Dolphins. He's going to the Super League. Can I ask you this, David? Are the Dolphins in danger of not being competitive in 2023? Early shout.
Vossie, good morning. Look, I think they are. I think it's starting to get to the point where you can almost push the trajectory of the Dolphins back 12 months. And I mean that by the fact that the roster build just hasn't been there, and they are fast running out of high quality talent on the available market to sign for 2023. We know that, as you mentioned, they've missed Siwa Takiaho, Christian Welsh, Brandon Smith. They came in late, very late, with a big offer of around $600,000 to $650,000 for Blake Brayley down at the Sharks. Mm. He re-signed with Cronulla. And I firmly believe that the market is closing fast for the Dolphins to be competitive in 2023. Granted, when Wayne Bennett will be at the helm, and while ever Wayne Bennett's a head coach of a side, you would like to think a team would be competitive, but the high-quality players that we thought they would attract, it's just not happening, Bossy.
No, it's almost like they'd have to pay a Dolphin tax. Like, you know, whatever they've got, they're going to now have to look at it and add 20% maybe. So a $600,000 investment becomes, well, the offer's $720,000.
Right.
I think until Bossy, they get, you know, a number of players on board, they might have to do that.
Yeah. I just feel like they could have been quite bullish about this. And we've spoken about it before. To get one, you need to get two. It rolls on from there. And to get Kalyn Ponga and Brandon Smith in the same room together and say, guys,
yep,
this is the package, right? Kalyn, we're going to give you 1.3. And Brandon, we're going to give you 900. Let's go. Let's get this done. You've got 24 hours to sign. The ball would start rolling. It would have been a huge statement, but it just hasn't happened at this point in time.
Is Appy Korosau in the mix there, or what mail are you getting where he may end up? And it could be very soon that we find out.
Look, Vossie, 2 days ago I got a tip that Dolphins were keen for Appy Korosau. I spoke to management yesterday about the Appy Korosau and the Dolphins. Look, they denied any conversations had been held, but certainly I believe that he would be on their radar. I'm not ruling out Parramatta either for Appy Korosau, Vossie, but certainly the West Tigers are keen. 3-year deal tabled there. The advice, interestingly, coming from Penrith, a lot of close confidants within the Penrith inner sanctum that talk to Appy about his next steps are advising him to go to Parramatta, where he would be, they believe, almost a seamless fit into a strong forward pack, quality outside backs, and would be a good fit there. So I still think there's a bit of water to flow there with Appy Korosau, Vossie.
All righty. And look forward to you on deck again for the Telegraph this weekend. Rugby League never sleeps. I'm sure there's another drama just around the corner. David, thanks for your contribution this week on the program.
Thanks, Vossie. Go well, mate.
Among the many sports getting underway this weekend and SEN in it up to their eyeballs, the Big Bash League. We will have coverage. Our coverage will start at 6 o'clock Sunday night on the Sydney Sixers game and the Melbourne Stars. Now, I'm going to tie in the KFC Supercoach into this as well. Tom Sangster, our guru. And this is a wrap for the Sydney Sixers. He said if you're doing your side and you've still got some places, basically when in doubt, chuck in a sixer. Such is the depth of this squad. Such is the talent that my next guest has to watch and work with. Greg Shippard is the coach of the Sixers, and he's on the line. Welcome to Breakfast with Vossie, Greg.
Yeah, good morning. Great to be on the show on SEN in Sydney.
Good man. And look, I'd have to say, if you had like a checklist of, you know, covering all bases when it comes to the T20 format, the Sydney Sixers, they, in your mind, they tick every box, the talent that you've got?
Yeah, I hope so. I like to think so. I've spent a lot of time with my other list managers, you know, working through all the combinations that you need across the course of a tournament and coverage for injuries. Like in this particular time, point in time right now, we have Jackson Bird, Ben Dorchus and Sean Abbott unavailable to us with the ball, but we still feel as though we're going to deliver a really strong bowling performance against the Stars on a Sunday night. So having coverage, you know, through the batting lineup, through the middle order, the openers and the bowling teams, you know, we think we've got a fantastic group of players who ultimately are unchanged from last year, and we thought that that group of players absolutely deserved the right to go from back-to-back to back-to-back to potentially back. So
yes, that's
a bit
right.
of a thrilling yes. opportunity for the players. It's a rare opportunity. So we've entrusted this group to you know, have their best shot at it.
I had Chris Green from the Thunder on earlier this week, and he quite openly admitted, look, inspired by the T20 World Cup. It's made it even, yeah, itching even more to get out there and get the big bash underway. Yeah, that was phenomenal success. You'd like to think, well, we can carry that on into our domestic competition.
Oh, absolutely. It was a great result for Australian cricket, and it, you know, it showed again that, you know, the big bash is growing in itself, and it's flowing as well into the national team, that performance. So it's summer's favourite family sport, the big bash, and we're really pleased to be back in Sydney. We played one game only here last year at the SCG in the final, which was a remarkable event in itself. So we're really looking forward to the opportunity to showing our stuff at the SCG on numerous occasions this season.
Greg, can I push you on this one? Would you care to make a couple of predictions? And again, I'm coming at you probably as a fantasy coach, and a lot of our listeners are getting into it. It's another way to enjoy the Big Bash League. But of an established player that you believe will stand up, like will really have a good season from the Sixers squad, and then one that hasn't necessarily, you know, relatively new on the radar, someone like a Hayden Kerr. Can you give me a prediction at both ends of the scale there?
Well, you've probably named one who's in brilliant form at the moment in Hayden Kerr, who will be getting an opportunity early in the season for sure. With bat and ball, he's really starting to emerge. I guess we would liken him to, you know, Dan Sams from the Thunder coming through, and we hope that he has the same impact over time for us. Someone who last season for us, you know, played a very important role in one of the newest phases of the game, this surge throughout the middle of the game, was Jordan Silk, who's in sparkling form for Tasmania, and last year was brilliant in that phase of the game for us, and looks to be in super form. Again, the best fielder in the competition, and played his role last year, was close to, if not the best player in the competition. So I'm really looking forward to Jordan, you know, consolidating, you know, that side of his cricket.
Greg, as coach, tactically, and if I think back to the early days of 50-over cricket, and the game evolved, you know, the early days it was, I can still remember Richie Benno said, you know, your target was in the first 15, you try and get to 50. You know, like, and with it, these days, you go, oh, well, you're kidding. Has the T20 game evolved as far as it's going to go? Is it still evolving? Like, tactically, this season different to what you may have done last season or a few seasons ago?
Yeah, it's all, you know, a big part of the game is definitely the strategy, but the strategy is linked to the conditions and linked to the matchups and the opposition. So, you know, that's a dynamic, you know, a dynamic moving feast that changes by the ball often. And so, you know, players need to accept how the game is shaping and moving, and it's about controlling and winning back momentum if you've lost it. So, you know, the teams are very attuned to, you know, fighting back, and making the captains attuned to making calls to improve the matchups that are coming. And we're very fortunate at the Sixers to have, you know, one of the very, very best intellectual captains in the game, you know, in a world sense, in Moses Henriques. And last year, you know, into the fold stepped Daniel Hughes, who did a brilliant job for us in Moses' absence. So, you know, the captain plays an enormous role, thinking on his feet out there, but there is a lot of pre-game homework done.
Yeah, well, that's a good insight into it. Greg Shepherd, my special guest, coach of the Sixers, defending champions, all on again on Sunday night. Crowd factor, you did mention earlier how good it is, you know, just the one game last summer. It does feel like an age, doesn't it? Like, you know, it's been such a fight to try and get things back to normal, and I gave a little rev up earlier in the show after seven, like a call to arms for the Ashes. Get on board now. I've had all the controversy. Get on board. Support the team. Yeah, we're playing England. Let's go. Let's go for the jugular. And with the Big Bash League, I almost say to everyone listening, just get on board and enjoy it, because yeah, it was so well established, and then we've had these disruptive seasons that it's just going to be great to be taking in live sport with crowds.
Oh, absolutely. Last year, I've been doing this cricket since 1977-78, and last year's crowd at the SCG, 28,000, were just the best crowd I think I've ever seen, and I've been all over the world and with bigger crowds. But, you know, their understanding of the game and the play that they were having with, you know, our good performances ball by ball was just an absolute inspiration to our team on that night. So we hope as many of our fans and supporters come back for that very reason. And internally in our team, we've got, you know, three English players in Jones, Vince, and the other two there down the order in Sammy Curran. Tom Curran, and Chris Jordan. So I think with an Ashes going on, there's going to be some fantastic internal dressing room jibes going on. So it'll be on to young and old.
Excellent. That is good stuff. Well, Greg, we'll be tuned in on Sunday night. It is here on SEN. Our coverage is starting at 6, so we've got a big preview going in, but can't wait for it all to start. It is part and parcel of the Australian summer these days, and good luck to the Sixers. They are the champs.
Thank you very much. Look forward to it.